Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cochin Shipyard Limited Investor Conference Call hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And now at the conference, with Ms. Shakhi Panjara from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good day, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the investor conference call of Cochin Shipyard Limited. From management team, we have CEO Vijay, Chairman and Managing Director and Director of Finance, Dr. Hari Krishnan S., Director of Operations, Sri Rajesh Gopal Krishnan, Director Technical, Sri Sriraj VP, Executive Director, Ship Building, Sri Sibu John, Chief General Manager, Finance, Sri Sam Kamal and Company Secretary. Now, I hand over the call to CEO Vijay for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Cochin Shipyard Limited Investor Con Call. I am Jose Vijay, CMD, Cochin Shipyard Limited, and I am joining today by Dr. Hari Krishnan, Director of Operations, Sri Rajesh Gopalakrishnan, Director of Technical, Sri Shiraz VP, Executive Director of Shipbuilding, Sri Shibu John, Chief General Manager of Finance, and Sri Sham Kamal, Company Secretary. Let me start by giving you a brief overview of our operational performance during FY27 so far. During the period, CSL delivered three vessels, including the third vessel in the series of eight anti-submarine warfare shallow water craft being built for the Indian Navy. The second multi-purpose vessel under the export order for our German client, the double-ended Roro ferry to Kochi Municipal Corporation. Our only owned subsidiary, Udupi Kochi Shipyard, also delivered three vessels during the period, including two 3,800 TW general cargo vessels to Wilson Group Norway and a 70-ton bollard pull tug to Messrs. Polestar Maritime and Adani Group Company. Over to financial performance, let me now briefly touch upon the details. For the first quarter, our turnover stood at rupees 1,094.21 crores compared with 1,068.59 crores in this corresponding period last year. PBT was rupees 202.49 crores compared to 249.54 crores last year, while PAT stood at 151.45 crores compared with 187.82 crores in the corresponding quarter. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was around 24%, while PAT margin stood at around 14%. Joint venture, details about the joint venture with the Drydock World Dubai. Coming to future strategic initiatives, I would first like to update you on an important decision taken by the Board of Directors at the meeting held yesterday. It has also been intimated to the stock exchanges. The board has approved the proposal to form a joint venture with Drydock World Dubai, a DP World company, for owning, operating and managing CSL's International Ship Repair Facility, ISRF, at Willingdon Island, Kochi. As you are aware, ISRF is a state-of-the-art ship repair facility developed by CSL over an area of around 30 acres of land. The facility has a 6,000-ton ship lift and transfer system, 6 workstations, and around 1,400 meters of berthing space. It can handle vessels of up to 130 meters and has an annual throughput capacity of up to 82 ships. The proposed joint venture will have equal shareholding with CSL and DDW holding 50% each. The JV will not only operate the existing ISRF, but also undertake capacity augmentation through the addition of 10 more workstations. From a strategic perspective, we believe this partnership brings similar to the complementary strength of both the companies. CSL brings its established presence in the Indian maritime sector and its existing ISR infrastructure, while DDW brings significant international experience, operational expertise, and a global customer network in shipbuilding. The partnership is expected to help us improve operational efficiency, adopt global best practices and advanced technologies, reduce turnaround time, and importantly, attract international customers to Kochi. We believe this will provide a strong platform for scaling up the ship repair business in Kochi. I would also like to highlight the transaction structure. The ISR of undertaking is proposed to be transferred to the JV company on a slump sale basis as a going concern for a consideration of 1,800 crores. CSL will receive 50% of the consideration in cash, while the balance 50% will be received in the form of equity in the shares of JV company. The valuation of 1,800 crores is based on an independent third-party valuation. The definitive agreements, including the joint venture agreement, shareholders agreement, and business transfer agreement, and license agreement, have been finalized. The JV agreement will be signed tomorrow on the sidelines of the BRICS summit at New Delhi, while other agreements will be signed after incorporation of JV and receipt of requisite approvals. There are certain regulatory and shareholder approvals required before the transaction can be completed. These include approval from the Ministry of Port, Shipping and Waterways, DIPAM concurrence, and shareholders of CSL. In particular, shareholder approval is required for the proposed transfer of the ISR of undertaking. We will therefore be coming out with a postal ballot to seek the requisite approval of our shareholders. Subject to receipt of the necessary approval, the transaction is targeted to be implemented before the end of the current financial year. Another important update I would like to share with investors is regarding the proposed block fabrication facility at Kochi. As you may recall, CSL signed an MOU with HDKSOE of Korea for exploring various areas of cooperation, including setting up a block fabrication facility at Vallarpadam, Kochi, for utilization for the new dry dock and a joint shipbuilding activities. Since then, CSL and HDKSOE have had series of discussions and engagements. However, we have not been able to arrive at a mutually agreed definitive term for establishing BFF facility through a joint venture. CSL now will proceed with the development of the facility independently at a smaller scale, while we will continue to keep the option of a suitable strategic partnership open if such an opportunity provides value to the company in future. I would also like to clarify that this decision is specific to the block fabrication facility only. Both CSL and HDKSOE remain positive about the relationship and have expressed their willingness to continue exploring opportunities for collaboration in other areas of mutual interest. Another important project is our proposed ship repair facility at Vadinar, Gujarat, which CSL is developing jointly with Deen Dayal Port Authority. The project has already received CCA approval in May this year. The facility will have two floating dry docks capable of handling large vessels of around 250 meters in length. We expect the environmental clearance shortly, and once the required clearances are in place, we are targeting to operationalize the facility within 36 months from the receipt of environmental clearance. Now that our joint venture with Dry Dock World Dubai have been finalized, we may also explore the possibility of collaborating with them for the operation of this facility also at Vadinar. Another important update we would like to share is regarding our proposed facility at VO Chidambaranar Port in Tuticorin. CSL participated in an e-auction conducted by the port for a 30-year lease of land and a waterfront to establish a hybrid shipbuilding and ship repair facility, and we emerged as a successful bidder. Under this arrangement, against a one-time payment of 305.76 crores, CSL will get access to around 110 acres of land and 17.29 acres of waterfront area for a period of 30 years. We believe this provides an excellent opportunity for CSL to expand its presence and develop a hybrid shipyard in that location. The facility will enable us to participate in the growing mid-size and niche shipbuilding segments, including European short sea vessels and wind energy vessels. It can also provide additional capacity to our subsidiary Udupi Cochin Shipyard, which is currently constrained by availability of the land and as a result has limited scope of taking up new orders. We are currently working out the modalities of developing the facility, with shipbuilding, ship repair and offshore fabrication activities being planned at that location. For all these strategic projects, government support and policy initiatives will be very important, and CSL has already applied for financial support under the Government of India Shipbuilding Development Scheme for our greenfield and brownfield expansion projects, which will help reduce the overall funding requirement and actual cash outflow of these investments. We also plan to fund these projects through a combination of debt and equity. In this context, Maritime Development Fund Interest Incentivization Fund, which provides interest subvention up to 3% on the loans extended to shipyards and shipping companies, will also be very helpful in supporting the financing of these strategic initiatives. Finally, coming to our order book, our current unexecuted order book stands at around 22,000 crores, which continues to provide us with good revenue visibility. We have also declared as L1 for 5 number of next generation survey vessels for the Indian Navy, valued approximately 5,000 crores. Once this contract concludes, the order book will be around 27,000 crores. With that, I will conclude my opening remark. We would now be happy to take your questions. Thank you everyone for joining us today.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. I request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to 2 questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. First question is from line of Mohit Chaurasia, individual investor. Please go ahead. Mohit, may I request you to unmute your line and proceed with your question? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Serene Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is on Green Maritime Propulsion JV. I wanted to understand more on the product basket which will be catered by this JV, and also what is the ballpark scale that this JV is targeting over the next 3 years within that product basket. And lastly, when can we expect some meaningful contribution coming out of that JV?
March. The company was incorporated in June 26, and we are targeting a product range of energy storage system, especially for the marine sector, then electrical power management system and all. And we are targeting, as per our business plan, we are targeting a revenue of 640 crore by 5th year. This is our plan.
And what kind of competitive landscape do you see for these product markets which you mentioned? How do you see, like, how many competitors are already there or maybe coming in the upcoming years? I'm just trying to understand what kind of margins we can have in these products.
We expect a margin of around 20%, and as per our green tech transition program and other various initiatives in the green sector, we expect a lot of orders for the battery in India in the coming years. So the prospects are very high.
See, the basic purpose of constituting that JV is that, see, now HBL is the number one battery manufacturer,
yeah,
but they are not in the marine sector, and we have our expertise in the marine sector. So this company will marinize that battery requirement for the marine usage. So now all the batteries and the battery systems are being imported for the marine operations. So already we are building four green tugs. The battery system for that tugs are being routed through that JV. So already the CSL has already given an order for that JV company. But we are not expecting much revenue or top line or this thing from that company in the immediate future.
So progressively we are aiming a target of around 640 crores in the fifth year.
Okay, and this 20% margins which you mentioned, is it a PAT margin you are speaking about or a EBITDA margin?
It is on a ballpark figure,
yeah,
only because there are a lot of R&Ds also,
yeah,
involved. But you are mentioning about,
yeah, the business plan is yet to be evolved. We are on the process of making a business plan.
Okay. And your partner HBL has mentioned that this JV has placed orders for batteries for two electrical tugs, right? So I wanted to understand with respect to this particular product category, what is the size of, what is the market size do you people see maybe in next 3 years for electrical tugs? What is the bid pipeline there, and how many competitors are currently bidding in along with ourselves?
See, actually, this electric propulsion and on the tug segment is just evolving. And this is because the Government of India has also recently declared the GTTP, or the Green Tug Transition Program, wherein they're trying to push the major ports to start off with electric propelled tugs. We feel it will take a little time for a mass movement on this front, purely because the electric propelled tugs would cost almost twice that of a conventional diesel propelled tug. But having said that, with environmental requirements becoming more and more stringent, there is definitely no other way to go but move on this front. So the Government of India is also wanting to see 50% of our tugs go green by around 20, 35 to 40. So there are going to be volumes that will come up. But I think the real movement will probably happen maybe 3-4 years down the line.
So to add more to that, so as per this program, all the conventional diesel-powered harbor trucks will be replaced with zero-emission vessels. So this is implemented across various phases. And by 2044, we are targeting a 50% green tug by year 2035. So the total investment in this sector is around 1,000 crores in the next 10 years, and major pie is for the battery. So we foresee a good scope for this batteries in the coming years.
And in this JV, 60% is held by HBL and 40% is there, sir. So we have only 40% stake in that company.
Okay, and ultimately, whatever the tug orders we are getting in this JV, batteries will be supplied by HBL, right?
Yes.
Understood. And what kind of capital we are looking to deploy in this JV, sir, over the next 3-4 years?
Not much, because it is a technology driven, because the manufacturing will be done by the HBL. So we are not getting, we want to set up a manufacturing facility at all. We will be marketing and R&D. And the total capital is only 50 crores.
Okay. This tug will be manufactured by HBL or you? Because you people are having that skill, isn't it?
No, the ship will be manufactured, ship or tug will be manufactured by us. The battery will be manufactured
JV.
By the JV through the facility, the existing facility of HBL. Type of contract manufacturing.
Understood. And this entire revenue of the, for example, this tug, that will be splitted between 60-40, right? HBL 60 and 40U.
Not the tug. See...
Battery.
Can you explain a bit more, like, I'm just confused here, means how the revenue will be, because what I am understanding is if you people are selling the tug, right, the JV is selling the tug, right, so battery is the internal component if you are purchasing from HBL as a standalone entity.
See, that order for the tug will be taken by Cochin Shipyard. And the order for the supplying the battery will be given to the JV. Mm-hmm. So the JV will have the turnover of only the battery.
Okay. Okay. And that will be manufactured by HBL.
Yes.
So this 640 CR which you are speaking about, this will be the JV's revenue, right?
JV's revenue. And that will be consolidated by the HBL only because they are holding 60%.
That is by the 50 year, progressively 640 by 2031.
Okay. And just last thing, then I will join back the queue. This 20% number which you mentioned, is it a EBITDA margin or the net margin, sir?
It is the EBITDA level, but the business plan is yet to be finalized. We are discussing that only, but it's only the ballpark figure of 20%.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. All the best for the future.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Dipen Vakil from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the joint venture, sir. My first question is on the lines of, you mentioned about the tradoc called JV. So what I wanted to understand over here is that now, will this, while the complete operation lies with DDW, so what kind of orders, will you be involved in terms of ordering or anything, or will this facility just cater to DP World's vessels? And so how will be the operations going on? So is it just an entity covering for DP World or it will still cater to the domestic demand as well?
Yeah, so it's like this. The reason for bringing in the DDW is to bring in global scale, global efficiencies, and connect into the global market. Having said that, TSL today commands a significant captive market in India for this size of vessel. The ISRF facility can handle vessels up to 130 meter long and 6,000 tons in weight, and we have a fairly good captive market for this. We also have a lot of defense and other government vessels which fall under this size and category, which will continue to be, routed through CSL. These orders will be taken by CSL, will be executed by, it's a sort of an execution JV, we may call it so, with the freedom for DDW to bring in their clients. And it will become an add-on sort of add-on to the capacity which we currently or the market that we currently target. So it is seen from that perspective. So the business being held by CSL currently will continue to be available for the facility.
And how about the opportunity which is there, which is addressable by both? So considering that yours is DDW will be a JV, and you also have an active ship repair presence in India. So for the orders where both of them are qualified, as to how the split will happen, whether there will be any market share loss, or whether any such thing which can happen, which can be detrimental for CSL?
No. See, actually, the ISRF can handle vessels only up to 130 meter long and 6,000 tons in weight. So even today, all the larger vessels are being handled across the main CSL yard and across all our units. So we have, between the two of us, have a very clear understanding that there will be no ingress into that market by DDW, and the current market share of CSL in the other segments will continue to be held by CSL. The JV will also continue to do the jobs that I told earlier, but we are expecting more global vessels to be brought in by the JV by DDW, and because they will now want to tap into their global clientele as well. So otherwise, there will be no impact on the business that we hold.
Got it, sir. That's very encouraging. So second question on the lines of your auto book and auto pipeline. So you mentioned that your auto pipeline currently you are L1 into a defense order for next generation survey vessel. Beyond that, what is the auto pipeline maybe in a year or two that you are looking at either in defense or in the commercial side of it or even in the export side of it? Which one give us the visibility on the order inflow and the order book for the company?
See, actually in the defense, there are a lot of programs are running in the order book. Like as you are aware that LPD is there, then
Minesweeper.
LPD from defense side, the major order which we are expecting soon is around LPD 4 numbers. That will be approximately 32,000 crores. Then 12 numbers MCMV, approximately 36,000 crores. Then C-17 Bravo, 7 numbers, that will be approximately 49,000 crores. So these are the major orders which we are expecting from the defense side.
Orders,
RFPs. Because there are other competitors also. So we will also be participating in the bids. And from the Indian commercial side also, because of the demand aggregation being run by the government of India, there is a requirement of around 432 vessels over a period of 10 years. So all the SCI and the newly formed joint venture company BCSL have come out with 3 or 4 tenders already. We are participating in that, and other companies are also participating in that. So the pipeline is good for all companies in India, all shipyards in India.
Got it, sir. So any contract finalization expected in this year amongst in the commercial side?
Commercial, because we are actively negotiating with one more dredger, because as you are aware, we are building one 12,000 M3 dredger for dredging operation of India. They want a repeat one for that, so that negotiation is going on. It's on a nomination basis to CSL. Then other we are also discussing with Andaman for a 4 numbers 500 passenger vessels. That is also under, so will be on a nomination basis. This, then we have also participated various tenders of ACI, which the MR tankers and all, but that the result of that has yet to be published.
Got it, sir. Sir, last question. So you mentioned about the block fabrication unit that you are coming up with at Kochi facility, and now you are going solo into it, and maybe it will be at a smaller size than first envisaged. So can you help us with what is the current block fabrication capacity and what could be the block fabrication capacity once the new facility comes in?
Presently, our block fabrication facility is around 12,000 tons per year in CSL main facility. But because having commissioned the new dry dock also, we need more steel throughput. So what we are expecting is that with the Hyundai, we were planning to have a 1 lakh ton capacity block fabrication facility. Since we are going alone now, we are planning to have a capacity of around 60,000 ton per annum.
Got it, sir. Very encouraging, sir.
So 60,000 ton from the new block block facility plus 12,000 from our existing facility. So it will be around for throughput will be around 72,000.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Mohit Chaurasia, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the question. Just wanted to understand the cash flow side of the business a little better. Despite the strong PAT in FY26, operating cash flow was negative, mainly because of that increase in inventory and receivables. and now you are entering another investment cycle in ship repair, including the Vadinath project. So from normalized perspective, what the kind of cash conversion should we expect from the business? And now on new ship repair investment, what the sort of ROC or return threshold are you targeting?
Can you repeat the question once again, please?
Even the FY26 PAT was very strong. The operating.
Mohit, sorry to interrupt you. Can you speak through the handset directly, please?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
So I was asking that even the FY26 PAT was strong, the operating cash flow was negative, mainly because of receivable and inventory. And now we are entering the another investment cycle. So from normalized perspective, what kind of cash flow should we expect from the business? And this new investment, what sort of ROC we are targeting here?
See, why that operating cash flow is negative? Mainly because we have taken, as you are aware, we have commercial orders from the export also, the European customers. In the European export market, the cash flow is tail end. Like during the construction period, they will say pay around 30% during construction period and 70% on delivery. Like on signing, they will pay 10%, then keylaying 10%, launching 10%. And delivery may be 70%. So now the orders which has been taken during the period of 23 and 24 and all, they have all stated to be delivered now. So we have already completed the construction of around 80 to 85 to 90%, but whereas we have received the money up to 30% only. So once that this year we are targeting delivery of around 10 vessels during this current financial year. As mentioned in my opening remarks, we have already delivered 3. So once we start delivering the vessels, we get the 70% or 60% money from the owners. So the cash flow will become positive.
Okay. So we can expect that cash flow will become positive in the FY27, right?
Yeah. FY27, the cash flow will be positive.
Okay. And what kind of ROC we are looking with the new investment?
The ROC will be around 14 to 15%.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Serene Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the follow-up. The question is on Green Maritime. I understood that HBL will be playing the manufacturing partner role for the components, right? What will be the role of TSL here across the product basket that we will be catering to?
This is a synergy between our shipbuilding skills and the experience of HBL in the manufacture of the energy storage system. So it's actually a synergy between the two companies.
Our inputs will actually
come in helping HBL to marinize the systems.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, our battery companies are all catering currently to the landside segments, automobiles or landside segments. So marinizing requires a little bit of expertise and knowledge to come in from the marine sector, and that is what we will come in.
And now in India, all these marine batteries are being imported suddenly. So once we develop such a technology, this JV company can supply that marine batteries to CSL and to other shipyards also.
Maybe if I can just explain that a little for you. Recently, we have delivered India's first indigenous hydrogen fuel cell vessel. It is now operational in Varanasi. So here also, fuel cells. India does not have marine fuel cells. So we teamed up with KPIT Pune, who had developed fuel cells for automobiles. And this was marinized and used on a ship or a vessel for the first time. So this is something similar that we will do with HPL.
Okay. And sir, on that side also, this hydrogen marine fuel cell vessel, how much sale are we targeting there, and what kind of arrangement do we have for our technology partner, which is KPIT Pune, as you mentioned? How do you see this business, this venture, to scale up over the years, and what kind of commercial arrangements do we have with them? Are we going to share some royalty, or how exactly is it going to take place?
See, this was actually a technology demonstrator. We had actually done it as a pilot project. Worldwide hydrogen fuel cell is just in the initiation stage. People are just starting off, you know. So it's more, it has a lot of factors that will come into play. One is, of course, the development of hydrogen fuel cell of propelled vessels. But again, the landside infrastructure, the hydrogen availability, the bunkering facilities, a lot of systems have to come into play. The ecosystem will take time to develop. So we were just wanting to be on board the technology and see how it goes, so that we have that front runner advantage, and we have the technical and the technological capabilities, which is what we proved. So converting that into a business and returns, we will take a little time, but what I can assure you is we will be up there when the time comes.
Got it. And from the JV, have we delivered some, can we expect some revenue to kick in FY 27?
JV is around 30 crores only.
37 crores we are expecting.
But it will all come to our top line.
Yeah.
Okay. But at least bottom line will be there, right? Because the JV 40% should be there.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from Nano Bhavya Gandhi from Bajaj Alternates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, basically the order book, 22,000 crores that we have, how much of revenue booking can we expect over the next 2 years? And also on the margin front, if you can throw some light on the EBITDA margin, how much of the EBITDA margin can one expect over the next 2 years?
The revenue booking, the last year we did a consolidated turnover of 5,022 crores. Normally we get around 1,000 year to the investors. So we are still sticking on to that, because normally we guide around 12%, but finally we may end up between something around 12-15% every year. That's what. But conservatively we guide around 12%. EBITDA margin will be around 14% blended.
Okay. And also, basis the order pipeline, you said you are already L1 for the next generation survey vessels. When can we expect the order contract signing for this? And also, for any other contracts, bid pipeline, that which is there in the bid pipeline, when can we expect the contract signing for them? When can we see the order book rising here on? Yeah.
That NGSB, the NAV, the longer, we expect that the order to be inked around November this year, and DCI, the repeat order for the next dredger, it can happen within 2 months. That's what we expect.
Hello.
Okay, do you have any follow-up question?
Yeah, I just missed out the second one. Which order did you mention, sir?
The DCI, Dredging Corporation of India, we are building a dredger currently. They require a sister vessel for that, second vessel, so that we will be getting on a nomination basis. So discussions are going on. So that contract may be concluded within 2 months.
So what will be the order value, sir?
That is around 1,300 crores, one ship.
Okay. So basically this year we can expect 5,000 crores and 1,300 crores order wins. That is the right understanding?
That is already, there's a visibility, because we have emerged as L1 or it is short orders. But there are other tenders also we are participating, and the export orders also we are negotiating. that will we will take as and when it comes. We cannot tell a definitive time for that.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much. That's it from my end.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Poddar from Citadel. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question, sir. First, regarding the margins, so if you look at last 3 years, the margins were stronger than...
Abhishek, sorry to interrupt. Can you please speak through the handset?
Is it better now? My voice is clearer.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Okay, I'll try to, yeah. So regarding the margins, if I look at last 3 years, the EBITDA margins were much higher than 14%. How do you think about the margin from here? You have guided for 14% this year. This is mainly because of the lower margin in this ship repair, and how would we should we think about next 2 years?
See, the higher margin for the last 3 years is mainly because we had some denominated orders like in aircraft carriers for the shipbuilding, indigenous aircraft carriers. In ship repair also, there were 2 aircraft carrier refit. So there the margins are higher. But going forward, we cannot expect such margins from the commercial orders or the defense orders, because now all the tenders from the defense is also on a tender basis. And also now that the higher EBITDA margin was also on account of we were having a cash surplus of around 2,000 to 3,000 crores always. That interest was also steady income for every year. So having capitalized or commissioned the 2 CAPEX projects of ISRF and dry dock, which were we have spent around 3,200 crores without any loan, that cash surplus is also not there now. So these are the reasons why that EBITDA margin is coming down.
Understood. So this EBITDA margin includes the interest income that we earn on cash reserves.
EBITDA margin, normally we include the interest income also because it is certain for every year. Last, if you take last 10 years, this interest income was is the normal routine interest income. So that we were used to include that.
Understood. So because I was looking at the first quarter, what you have reported, and that was like more than 17. So we should assume that the remaining quarters and all, it will be a little lower than 17% to kind of reach an average of 14% for the year.
Normally we guide 14% because normally in shipbuilding around 12% we normally 10 to 12% and ship repair we get around 20 to 22%, and shipbuilding constitutes around 70% and ship repair constitutes around 30%. So blended will be around 14, 15, something like that.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for that. Second question is regarding this inquiry pipeline that you mentioned, LPD and LCMV and P-17 Bravo. So what should we expect to get ordered in next 12 to 18 months?
See, Navy is yet to come out with the RFP for the LPD, but I understand P-17 Bravo is already...
They have issued the RFP.
So even if... Normally Navy, the procedure is to finalize the bid. It takes time because the NGSV is also, after emerging as L1, it has become almost 1 year almost. So they have a CCS approval, then they do a PNC and also. We can't expect the timeline for that, but we are actively participating in all these bids.
Last time P-17 Bravo was built by other shipyards, Garden Reach, and so we have to
We are a category A shipyard
and we are qualified to bid for that, and we are submitting the bid also.
Understood. So this will be financial L1 bid and L2 bid who will get the contract here?
Yes.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you and all the rest.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Deepen Vakil from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity, sir.
You mentioned about the 10 vessels that are to be delivered in FY27, out of which 3 are delivered. So can you tell us about your schedule as to which vessels are you planning on delivering, whether those are anti-submarine warfare now, so multi-purpose vessel, NGM, and what would be the status on NGMV?
Yeah. We are planning to deliver 10 vessels in this financial year. So one among the 3 submarines we have planned this year, we have already delivered one, and the balance will be delivered by December 2026.
Two more ASWs.
Regarding the multi-purpose vessel, we have already delivered one. We are planning to deliver 2 more in this financial year. We will be delivering the trailing section hopper dredger by next month. So it is under the fag end of construction, and trials we are planning to start by the end of this month. Then we have got an order for 2 commissioning service vessels for a Cyprus client, and we will be delivering this one by October 26 and the other one by end of February or early March. Then we are building 2 emission, zero emission container vessels for Samskip, Netherlands, and we are planning to deliver one number by end February. And this is our plan scheduled for this year, financial year.
Got it, sir. So that's it from my sector. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Serene Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up again. I wanted to understand the kind of differentiation we are trying to make in the terms of the marinized batteries that we will be manufacturing in the JV. You mentioned currently all these batteries are getting imported into India. So against those batteries, what kind of differentiation we will be bringing in the terms of, is it in the terms of cost or is it in the terms of quality? How we should look at that?
This marine batteries has to undergo more strenuous conditions like salt, vibration, etc. So, and being in the electric mobility sector, HPL has got expertise and technology in this area. So, we want to leverage those advantages.
Okay, but how we should track the cost differentiation against the imported batteries? Because ultimately, why those buyers will shift to this JV instead of keep on importing the batteries?
Yeah, see they have got multiple advantages. One is the cost reduction. Local production significantly will reduce the transportation cost and import duties. So this will obviously aid to decrease cost. Then there will be a supply chain resilience in the, especially in this period of crisis and all, it will improve the supply chain resilience if it is indigenously manufactured. So disruptions can be addressed evenly. Then delivery, there will be faster delivery if you are producing these batteries in India. And moreover, since we are focused on sustainability goals, obviously this venturing into an electric battery production is of more significant, especially in this transition period to electric mobility and all. These are the core advantages. So, for informatively, major shipyards in the world are now having strategic alliances with this battery manufacturer for their improve their supply chain resilience and all. So, we are also moving in the same path.
Thank you. Garvit, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up. Next question is from line of Deepak Krishnan from Kodak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Sir. Yeah. Just wanted to understand the various CapEx plans that you have. So, you know, today with, say, 1800 crore ISRF, what is sort of the revenue potential we are looking at, maybe 3 years, 5 years? Similarly, by when does phase 2 CAPEX get done? What is the revenue potential post that? And if I look at the other CapEx also, 3 years you said Vadinar ship repair facility and 1,500-1,600 crores there. What is the vision in terms of maybe, after 3 years, assuming, you get it in 1 year, the TC, and then, how much is the revenue potential, say, by 2030, 2032 equivalent? And similarly, your block fabrication facility as well as your duty coating facility. For all of these four that you are spending, literally, if I look at it, you're going to spend 6,000 crores of CapEx over the next 5 years, 6,500 crores. Broadly, what are the revenue targets from this, and how are you looking at these investments?
Yes, from the ISR facility, we are expecting to get around 600 crores turnover over a period of next 2 years to start with. Then it will scale up to around 1,200 crores over a period of 5 years. And from Vadinar, the revenue will start recognizing only from 36 months from the date of getting environmental clearance. So after 3 years, we may get a turnover of around, to start with around 300 crores to around 500 to 600 crores. That's Vadinar. That in Thoothukudi, we are in the DPR stage only, but there also we expect a turnover of around should start with around 650 to 700 crores to scale up to around 1,800 to 2,000 crores over a period of next 7 to 8 years. And these capex will be spent over a period of next 5 years, and we will be going mostly through a debt equity ratio of around 20-80. And there is also a shipbuilding development scheme announced by the Government of India, by which we get 25% CAPEX subsidy for all these projects, and also the interest incentivization fund of around 3% subvention also, interest subvention also we will get. So we want to tap all these benefits while executing this CAPEX.
Sure, sir. And maybe just wanted to understand IAC 2 at this point, there is no visibility. Is that understanding correct? Maybe only after next...
There is no visibility because as of now it has not reached the AON stage because Navy has a procedure called approval of necessity. Even as per our information, we don't have that authentic information, but it has not reached the AON stage also. But okay. If it comes, if it takes a decision, it will come to us. That's what we feel.
Sure, sir. And maybe, just wanted to sort of understand on the various programs that are there, which ones on the naval side do you think you have a higher probability, like some of the previous participants asked, the P-17 Bravo, there's always someone who's done P-17 Alpha. So maybe if I look at the potential programs, what are the ones that can come through you? And this entire, domestic shipbuilding, what kind of order inflow potential over the next 2-3 years or revenue potential you see from SCI and the other entity that's sort of created for, containerized vessel manufacturing?
See, from the different order book pipeline, as you rightly said, the P-17 Bravo, because other vessels are more competitively, they may be because they have the expertise or they have already done the vessels. But if you look into that aspect, then the LPD will be the most suitable for us and more probably not we, most possibilities more on LPD because we have already done aircraft carrier and we have a large dock and the steel heavy platform is the LPD. So the LPD and MCMV will be the more suitable for us compared to P-17 Bravo. Though we will participate in all the tenders.
Sure. And similarly, just on the domestic commercial shipping opportunity we have, what is the sizable, realistic, orders we are targeting? Maybe if not this year, next year, and maybe next couple of years. And then what is the cycle of these orders and what is the potential revenue that we can get maybe 28, 29?
We have tendered for 4 MR tankers and we have submitted the technical bids. And the indicative cost is around 1,500 crores. Similarly, Aframax tanker, they have given an expression of interest and the indicative cost is around 2,600 crores.
Sure, and by what is the order cycle for this? Typical execution cycle for these type of orders?
Normally,
maybe 36 months for the first one and six and the subsequent vessel, 6 to 8 months.
Sure, and maybe on your margins, I still didn't get the 14% guidance. Could you just highlight that? How much is shipbuilding and how much is ship repair? And maybe defense and commercial if you're giving that split as well?
The shipbuilding as a whole is around 10 to 12% margin, and ship repair is around 22 to 24. So the blended will be around 14%, which I guided, because shipbuilding constitutes around 70% of the turnover and ship repair around 30% of the turnover.
Sure, sure, I get that. And excluding other income, how much would be this EBITDA? Like you're saying 200 basis points is the other income impact, roughly?
This is excluding other income only, because now we don't have that much sure. other income because going
forward. Yes, yes. Okay, sure, I get that. Sure, sir. Those are my questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to Ms. Aki Panjara for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the investor conference call of Cochin Shipyard Limited. If you have any further queries, please write to us at resource@careeradvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference. Good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you
all.
Thank you all. On behalf of Kiran Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.